Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Bad Talks. We are back with another show. I don't know, okay, maybe you want to do the introduction because I've been stealing your thunder.
I've been stealing it for the past 30 years. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night to all you podcast listeners out there all throughout the land. Welcome, welcome, and welcome. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Kay. I had to give it back to you guys. I do have to stay married to this guy, so after hours, I got to keep things kosher. But anyway, we are very excited to have our guest on tonight. His name is Justin Court. In case you haven't heard this name, you know, Justin has started this movement called Spread Love. So he has a page on Instagram, and it's literally about loving gestures that people do. Every day he's posting things. And so there's a lot of good things happening in the world. So we're so curious to dive into this conversation with Justin about, like, how did he get started? What is this movement meant for him personally? You know, where did it come from? So welcome to the show tonight.
I appreciate you so much, you guys, having me on. And I'm just excited to talk about love, to just open ourselves up a little more and just have a good, honest conversation.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit, you know, about your journey to where you are. Usually, you know, as we talk to different people on the show, there's something that brings them to this point of doing this particular thing that they become, like, insanely passionate about and driven to share to the world. So, like, how did you even get this, you know, Spread Love movement going?
You know, it's pretty wild. You know, I have a lot of, I also have a podcast, and a lot of the guests I have on are just doing incredible, amazing things in the world. And I ask them this question a lot too. It's like, what kind of got you on this path? And so many times in that situation, and I love these stories, it was a really hardship. It was a really very hard time. It was tragedy. It was some trauma that they experienced, you know, that was very difficult for them at that time. But then that was literally the catalyst that guided them towards this path and where they are. My story is not like that. So my story wasn't this, you know, really difficult, tough time that brought me down. And I do feel like a lot of growth and a lot of our power comes from those situations when things are difficult. But that was not my story. So how it really happened, it all came through love. It came through the most euphoric, best, most loving experience I was having during my life. And so this took place some years ago. I was living in New York City, and I met my now wife. And when I, you know, when we met each other, we just fell in love pretty instantly. And the connection that we had was just unreal. And she opened me up to a love that I never even knew existed. And she grew up very, you know, her parents instilled kindness and love and compassion and all these beautiful traits in her. And, you know, I grew up, I think, a very happy childhood as well. But she helped put me in a place, or helped me get to a place where love was just exploding out of my chest, out of who I am. I was in this euphoric state all the time. And so she was living in Brooklyn, in the city at the time, and I would commute into Manhattan for work. So it was amazing. So from her apartment, which I eventually moved into, but from that apartment, we would have to walk over a little bridge to get from Queens, I'm sorry, to get from Brooklyn to Queens. And then I would take the 7 train into Manhattan. But that walk over the bridge is the most beautiful view of the New York City skyline I've ever seen. You get the entire thing, it's unreal, and you're walking on this for about 12 to 15 minutes. So every single day on my way to work and then on my way back, I would literally just be in this euphoric state of being, in this high vibration that I never experienced before because I was just so incredibly in love and feeling just so good. And as I'd walk over every day, I'd see this beautiful, you know, view of the skyline of New York City. And it really, as I would walk over, I'd be in this state, and very slowly, it took time, but over time, I would start to have these thoughts. Okay, how can I contribute more positively to the world? How can I spread more love into the world? How can I help people feel this undeniable love that I feel in myself? And not in a romantic way, but just in the truth of who we are, which is love. And every day going over the bridge, I literally would continuously have these thoughts. And it took time. But over this time, I then had the idea to, okay, how can I contribute? And then I had the idea for an Instagram page. And then I started the page. Over the first year, it didn't really grow very much at all. And then luckily, it's grown to about 350,000 followers now, which has been amazing. But it was just me being in this incredible state and just really going into myself and wondering, okay, how can I contribute and how can I put out good energy into this world and help people.
You have something to say?
Oh.
that was, I mean, look, I say this quite often. When a man can really express himself, you know, in a way that is not only felt, but is sensitive, is caring, is thoughtful, it makes me believe that's more of a man. Because men tend to have this stigma, oh, you're not supposed to cry. You're not supposed to talk in this manner. So I have to give it up to you for that, Justin, because that tells me right there that you are a man's man. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
No, seriously.
I appreciate. Yeah. Yeah. Dude, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that, because that's something in life, too, I feel like is a part of just who I am, and a message I'm trying to get out more is men being vulnerable. And men being more loving, and men talking about things that may be bothering them, or just being more transparent and communicating more.
Which is hard. Which is, I mean, yeah. And I'm saying that from my standpoint. I mean, and I know for millions of other, you know, men, it is extremely hard for us to open up. And I think that's primarily because of our environment, how, you know, like I said earlier, you know, how we were reared. No knock against our, you know, male figures that were in our lives. But also it's a cultural thing as well, you know. But I also think that it's just a part of us. I say this to Elizabeth quite often, you know, one thing about women, that's why they're not overly stressed out. And I believe, though I'm not a doctor, that's one of the reasons they live longer, is because they don't keep a lot of things in. Now, they may gossip. Sorry, babe. They may gossip and rant and rave. But guess what they're doing? It's like a full, it's like a balloon of helium. They're constantly releasing, constantly releasing. And we as men, we tend to just hold it all in. So go ahead and proceed, sir. But yeah, I just had to throw that in.
That was, I mean, as men, and it's, you know, it's tough to generalize, but there are certain traits that do seem to happen more on one side of the gender. But so men holding all of this stuff in, and not, again, I don't want to generalize, not everybody does that, but the men that do hold their emotions and their feelings in, you're keeping that. That is causing you stress. And there's been studies now that stress is literally one of the leading causes of death. So if, as a person, if you're stressed out all the time, you're keeping all these emotions and feelings in, and you don't feel like you're in a space where you're able to express yourself freely and openly and be truly who you are, that's a tough place to be in. And that stuff is going to build and build and build over your life. And that stress is really going to weigh you down. And I love when, you know, it's wild too, in being vulnerable, you're seeing it more like, okay, what a beautiful thing you just said to me. And without my vulnerability, without me kind of putting it out there, I wouldn't have received that back from you. So that's like a great thing that's happening too, that I'm noticing with being vulnerable and being open. I'm starting to receive that back more and more and more. What I give out to source, God, the universe, is what just continuously comes back to me. And when you can be in a space where then you feel more and more comfortable as a man expressing yourself and your emotions and really the depth of who you are and not being embarrassed and being vulnerable, it is just such an incredible thing to see in other men as well.
Yeah.
I just want to ask him a quick question. What is your outlet? Because it sounds like you've always been, I mean, really, I mean, I know you've talked highly about your wife. Hello, Miss Wife, wherever you are. You know, I think that women are such a compliment. A good woman is such a compliment to a man. It really helps to open us and broaden our sphere of thinking, our sphere of doing. But what outlets do you have? Because you seem like the type that would just release. I don't know if you're walking across the Brooklyn Bridge. Hey, I just need to talk to somebody. I don't know how it goes. But how do you release if there's no one around? I know for me, it's prayer, it's meditation, it's running, it's wellness. But everyone has their thing. If there's no one around as a man, how do you release then, Justin?
So I'll just say what helped me get to this place, one is definitely my wife, for sure. I used to have a crazy temper when I was younger, and I was healing myself as time went on. But once I met her, she just really helped heal me in that sort of a mind frame. So she helped. When she's around, she's extremely helpful. But just for myself, it just feels true to who I am. So I express who I am all the time. When I'm by myself, it is definitely through meditation. So meditation, I think, over time has just really helped me really be secure and in love with myself, like loving myself more and more and more every single time I meditate. And in that love of myself, it gives me the ability to be free, because it doesn't ever matter what anyone else thinks of us, right? So I feel like a lot of times where we're not vulnerable, we're not open, it's when we have fear that someone else may judge us. Or for a male, it comes like you're kind of a sissy or you're weak. But getting to a place, and meditation again has helped me do this, getting to a place where I don't place value in other people's opinions of me. I have a love for them. I wish nothing but the best for them, but I can't put that value in them. I have to hold the truth to myself. And when I do that, there's nothing that I'm afraid to share.
No, I think that's pretty interesting because I agree with Kay that men, and I agree with you, I don't like to generalize too much, but I think society kind of rewards the compartmentalization of things, right? Like, here's my family here, here's my life, here's my career, here's my hobbies, and like, oh, I don't need these things to touch one another. And I'm having these feelings, I'm upset. I kind of don't know if I should allow people to feel, you know, or hear how I'm thinking, because maybe I've had backlash when I've revealed my thoughts, or maybe someone's taken that and put that back in my face later on. And so it's like, oh, I'm shutting down. And so I love how you're saying that you have to, you know, reach this point, and how your wife really opened that avenue up. So I'm guessing she built really great trust with you around you, her being a safe place, right? For you to be able to release these thoughts to her. But I just like that you said, you talked about the self-love piece, because that's a big philosophy of mine too. When I coach my clients, I really feel like you're the foundation and you really have to be attuned to yourself. And that's hard, because that means accepting all the good and bad and ugly, right, of yourself, but giving yourself grace too. And when you can feed that, I think it just takes so much courage and bravery when people say things that other people are thinking, even if it feels uncomfortable, because to your point, it opens the door, it opens the conversation up. And I saw you kind of shaking your head, so I think you wanted to add to that.
I just loved everything that you just said. And I think if anyone is listening right now and you feel like you're in a place as a male or female, where you aren't in a situation or space where you feel like you can be comfortable and your truest self, complete open vulnerability with no risk or fear that what you share is going to come back and hurt you. If you, again, feel like you don't have that sort of a surrounding, the best thing that I can suggest that you do is to lead first. Mm. And it's going to get a little scary. The fear may kick in. It may get a little risky. The thing that you share, that person may throw back in your face later. They may not accept you for who you are. That's okay. But again, in you doing it first, you're going to open the door and the avenue for those other things to come your way. And like, to be really clear, I grew up in a, you know, my parents got divorced when I was super young, but my dad was an Italian guy from Yonkers, New York. You know, we didn't like talk about our feelings like ever.
Right.
You know, it was a lot of sports. It was football, baseball, basketball. I love him. I will say, he always let us know that he loved us. Always. He always made sure that we knew that he loved us, which was amazing. But we weren't talking deep into our feelings. So I didn't grow up in this sort of a world. What helped me was, one, my wife, Kayla, like you said, Elizabeth, creating that safe space for me to be in. So it's yourself. It's also people you surround yourself with too. So when she really helped me feel safe, I felt safe in other situations, and then I was able to express myself in those moments. And as I did that more and more, those people who I expressed myself to first felt comfortable expressing themselves back to me. And then now all the relationships that I have that undertone. We have that understanding with each other because we've built this now over time. There's just an understanding that we can be honest and vulnerable with each other. It took time, but again, my wife helping create that space, and then me taking that first step out allowed people to see that I was being vulnerable, and that gave them the freedom and the ability to be vulnerable in themselves as well. And again, that space, when you can just be who you are and never have to worry about that person not loving you or that person not forgiving you or not accepting you, that is one of the best places I feel like that we can be. And really, Kate, you wrote this up before too. I think this is a huge thing for really men to understand and to be, because we are setting that example for the next generation. We're setting the example for all the people around us who are looking. And when we can be brave in those moments and be vulnerable and show people that it's possible, that's what you need. People need to see that it's even possible to be in that way. Because for a long time in my life, I didn't think it was. We were men. We were supposed to, you know, keep in our thoughts and our emotions and be strong and never show any sort of a weakness or never, like Kay said before, like never cry, never be emotional. And all those things are a part of the human experience. And like, we're missing out on them if we're not doing those things.
And I think you tapped into something important. You know, you had your wife as that support system. So people might be out there like, I don't have a wife. Mm-hmm. I don't have a girlfriend. I don't have a boyfriend. I don't have anyone I feel that can support me. And that's why I think it's important to find your tribe. There's always your tribe of people that understand you and get you. And so I think a lot of times the reason why things are overwhelming for people to do is because people don't surround themselves with support systems to enable them to move forward. So by your wife opening you up, now you have this platform where you're reaching over 300, almost 350,000 people, and you're making them think like, oh, even in the midst of a pandemic, I'm sure people were really tuning into your platform, looking for hope, looking for love, looking for kindness in the world, right? And so I just think you just never know like how you can affect someone and how that person now affects other people. And now you have all these people that are like watching and looking and learning. Because to your point, a lot of things we learn are indoctrinated through our culture, through how we grow up. And if we are given any signals not to express or not to like express our feelings or that that's weak, it can be very hard to like open up, because that's just, it's kind of something that's ingrained in you. So I just think it's neat that you shared that support system. But for people listening, I just want them to know it doesn't always have to come from a significant other. It can come from a friendship. Mm-hmm. It can come from a pastor. It can come from, you know, people in your community. It can come from finding a support group. I mean, and I think that's the beauty of social media, honestly. Like when I look and see people who have autism, for example, say, hey, look, I have autism and this is how I'm living my life. And these are some of my challenges. When they do that, it helps other people understand, but they still find other people, right, that can pull them along too and support them in that journey. So I just think it's really
I'm a so glad effect. Though that you specified because we know that some people in the general audience, you do not have a significant other. So I'm glad that Elizabeth specified it can be your tribe, you know, group of friends, pastor, coach, because we don't want you guys just rushing out there. I got to find me an emotional support
partner. I'm walking
partner.
That bridge. I got to find me my person.
But no, it is. It is just so powerful, though, when you can have, you know, whether it's a group of people, whether it's a person that you can confide in, at no holds bar. I think that is the strength that is an addition to your strength for trusting in that person. And that's the key word in it all, trust. But I do have a question. So what would Kay need to do to make, you know, like the spread to love movement on your social media page? I saw there was this one clip and I thought it was cool. There was a grandmother who had not gone on a date in like 10 years or something. And, I don't know if it was the daughter or granddaughter, but she gathered about maybe 5 or 10 wigs to decide which one her grandmother, you know, would wear. So what would I have to do, Jester, to make that, you know, to make that movement?
You know, it's just acts of kindness and love. That's like literally, that's what it is. Like when me and my wife, she helps me out with it a lot. And when we're looking for a content, it's just acts of love and kindness. It's just moments of joy and happiness, because those things exist all around us. And one of the main points of creating this page was to show people these things exist everywhere. Because if you're watching the news or you're watching certain social media channels, a lot of those things are geared in the negativity and the fear-based things that are happening in the world. And if that's all that you're looking at, that's all that exists to you. All this other beautiful stuff can exist in 99% of the world, and this 1% could be really negative and bad, but if that's all that you're focusing on, the 99% doesn't even exist to you. So I just knew all that stuff was happening everywhere, and I just wanted to create a platform so people could see it and just know without a doubt that this is happening everywhere. So, Kay, I mean, you seem like a great guy. I would just record yourself next time you're doing something awesome or beautiful to somebody else.
Don't encourage him.
Thank you,
Don't
Justin. I appreciate him. It, Justin. I appreciate it. You know, I do pride myself, though, in all sincerity. I do pride myself coming from humble beginnings, coming from a family of just givers. And I don't mean just tangibly, because a lot of times we didn't have anything tangible to give. So you gave your time, you know, you gave whatever abilities that you had to help your fellow man, you know, your family members, strangers. And so, you know, I asked that question jokingly, but in all sincerity, I do. I'm just humbled to be able to do anything that's kind, and vice versa. You know, I shared this with Elizabeth. I think I shared this with her last week. And this is so simple. I know the audience will be like, what? That's a big deal? Let me tell you why it's a big deal. As always, I grew up here in the South. You know, we're Southern gentlemen. And, you know, you always talk, you hold the door open when a woman, a lady, a girl is coming behind you. And so I just did what was naturally, you know, for me to do. But as I did it, Justin, the woman who walked through, she said, "Thank you so much." Now, I know to many, that's like, what's the big deal? She didn't have to say anything. Now, I've gotten dirty looks because some women have thought that, you know, he's trying to put his bid in. He's trying to, no. And it was just her pleasantry, you know, when I opened it and she said, "Thank you so much." Her demeanor. So that was, to me, that was an act of kindness and an act of love that was simple. And to me, it's always the simplest things that mean and matter the most to me.
It is. And like those little moments of connection and love and just showing that other person that they're not alone, you know, you're here with them. Those moments are so special. And those moments mean a lot because something I try to remind myself a lot of, working triad of my vocabulary, something that I think about often is making sure that I never forget that these little acts of kindness have these massive ripple effects. And you have no idea what that small little act of kindness could have done for that person and their day, their week, or their life. And it is like holding the door for somebody seems so simple, but like, what a just a kind, nice gesture to let somebody know that like, I'm thinking about you. I don't know you at all. We don't know each other, but I thought about you in this moment. And I love the fact too, Kate, that you said that, you know, sometimes it's not always received well. For whatever the reason may be. And I've been there before too, where someone's having a bad day and they just get aggravated because they have to like speed up because I held the door for them or whatever it may be. I think for at least what I say to myself too, it's important to never stop doing those acts of kindness. Even if they're not reciprocated, that's okay. Never to ever stop doing that though, because right, I don't do it for that person to say, "Oh, you're the best ever." I do that because I want to, because I want to be their service to them. And if they accept it, that's great. And if they don't, that's totally fine too.
Right. Good point. And I like what you said about the door, just something as simple as the door being open. The thought hit me. What if this person or anyone for that matter may have had some doors closed that particular day, figuratively and literally speak? I didn't think about that until you mentioned that. And so it does my heart even the more, you know, good to know that, look, this woman could have had, I don't know, an opportunity door to close. And now here it is, some stranger who's opening the door for her could have enlightened her. And like you said, you know, made her see, you know what, this just helped, you know, helped my day, you know. So I think that's great. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to record myself opening the door for someone, and then I'll be able to make it to your love, spread love movement wall.
He's plotting. No, I think, you know, what you guys are both saying is like, you'd never know how these little gestures touch someone. And I've watched this, like when someone opens the door for me, I then open the door for someone else. Then you see someone else open the door, or you let someone out, you know, you're driving, let someone ahead of you. Then the next person does something. It's almost like, you're right, a domino effect. Mm. And I remember the movie I love so much, but it ended very tragically, which I didn't like, was Pay It Forward. Remember, was it Pay It Forward where the little kid that was in The Sixth Sense or something like that, he was in it. And he started this whole movement of like, every time you do something nice for someone, pay it forward. And it was almost this ripple effect through the community. And it was based on a true story, actually. Just how little acts of kindness, you know, because we always talk about this. Yes, there are tangible ways to give, you know, money, donations, but there's also non-tangible ways with your time, with your talents, volunteering, you know, doing things like that. So there's just so many ways that we can impact and that we don't know we're impacting often. Just like by you guys having this conversation tonight, it makes me so excited because, you know, there are a lot of men I think that are hurting and really struggling and want to be able to express and want to be able to have a safe place. And I'm glad you're saying like, hey, you know, it's okay. I think men need to hear that. And I think men are adopting some of that because you do see men trying to reach that.
And a lot of men are, I believe, but don't get me wrong. It's not to the magnitude of, I go back to the female population, because you know we still have, I guess you can say, Justin, maybe a wall that still encases around us. And that's why I put emphasis on the trust factor. You know, so for all the men out there, as Justin has also emphasized, you know, look, we're men. I mean, but we hurt too. I used to tell someone in particular all the time, I said, don't let my size fool you. I'm not a wall, you know. I'm flesh and blood with a heart. And every time I would mention that, it was almost like laughed at, you know, like, yeah, you'll be all right. And honestly,
for reference, so people that visually don't see Kay, he's like 6'5". He's a solid, what, 200 something? What are you? Okay, we won't get way. Well, he's 6'5". He's a very in shape 6'5" footer, but he's a big guy. So, like, I just want people to have that visual of what, you know, you're saying.
That's a great visual, because I feel like it's harder for someone your size. Literally, the bigger you are, the more quote unquote manly you are. I feel like based on being that size, not everybody, obviously, but you're on sports teams a lot of the time, maybe football, you know, maybe you're looked at as the tough guy who's gonna like fight everybody for us. You know what I mean? Like when you have that size, there is a certain stigma that falls on you. You better be tough. And it throws people off when someone of that size may be emotional.
Right.
Or yes. They may cry. Yes. It just like really. Yeah.
Right. Is that, and don't get it twisted now. Yeah, I'm still that guy that, you know, hey, you look to me if we need to move some bodies around. But no, in all honesty though, yeah, there's another side. And so just for the men again, you know, that bridge of trust with anyone in particular that you can confide in is key. And if not, like I've said earlier, you know, I know Justin mentioned meditation. You know, some people find their outlet through wellness, men primarily, I'm talking to this moment. You know, prayer, if you have faith, you know, utilize those tools that you have, because they do help to make the heart grow fonder, even in the midst of hurt.
Is there any, like, just, I'll go ahead and finish your thought.
I just want, Kay, what you said is honestly huge. Because it's the fact that you can be both. It's not or, it's always and. You can be, you can be strong. You cannot take shit from somebody. You can be strong and very confirmed in your vibration of who you are and still be insanely loving, still be vulnerable, still express yourself freely. So, like, thank you for throwing that out there, because a lot of times I think it's like this or that. Like, you're either tough.
Right.
Or you're a wimp. Right. You're either really strong or you're a crier. It's like it can vary. It's something that I do every single day too. I put it into my life. It's never or, it's always and. It's always and. It's not this or that. We get so caught in the culture of it's gotta be this or that. It can never be both. It's one or the other. It's always both.
Like, yeah, we're also multi-dimensional, multifaceted, and I agree with you, and I do feel like there's been this shift where everything has become so polarizing, but usually when there's compromise or peace, it's in the middle, and the middle is a combination of, you know, things, not just one side of things. So I was curious, like, out of all the things that have come across your platform, I'm sure you get tons and tons of great things to share, and I'm going to just share my favorite. My favorite was the grandma who went grocery shopping. I don't know where she was in the world. And then she had her little water gun that she pulled out. And then the guy in the store had his water gun and they just played. And that you could tell that brought her joy. Like there was this youthful energy about her. But also that was probably the like highlight of her week, going to this grocery store. And I love that the grocery store actually allowed them to engage in this act, because they knew how much it probably meant for both of them. There was a bond you could tell built on both sides. But outside of that, I'm just curious, like, out of all the things that have kind of crossed your, you know, your, I don't know, your platform, as far as the things you've seen, has there been some things that have really touched you more than others, or any stories that kind of come to mind?
The ones that I love the most that touch, so like, now my wife, she does post a lot of the things that are on the page. And we both come from a very similar place. And when I was posting it every single day for, you know, twice a day for years, it was always the things that resonated most with me. Like, that's literally what I posted. I wasn't like, ooh, will somebody like this or will they not? I'm like, this feels good. This makes me happy. It brings me joy. Let me get this out to the world. And the things that I love the most are just the simple acts of kindness. Like, that's literally it for me. We post other things about, like, people coming, you know, home from overseas and surprising, or, you know, stepfather adopting his son or something like that. And those are all beautiful moments. I love them all. But my favorites are just the simple acts of kindness. There was one where there was a woman and her daughter standing out in the rain, and some guy just literally walked over and gave him their umbrella. That post itself got like a couple million views. something that simple. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that really is those very simple acts of kindness, like we talked about before, that just show our love for each other. It's very simple to perform an act of love or an act of kindness. It doesn't take much effort a lot of the times. It can be the tiniest things, like we talked about again before, but they can really have some of the biggest impacts. And the fact that that video, it was like a few seconds, he literally just gave them the umbrella, did so well. It's like, this resonates with people. It definitely does.
I like that because I think you're sending a message. Like, it doesn't always have to be grandiose gestures.
That's right.
It's the little things. Like you said millions of people looked at that like, oh, I wouldn't have thought to just take an umbrella and say here. And that changed that daughter and mom's experience too. It's like, wow, a stranger just kind of like gave us shelter, you know, with this umbrella. So I love that you're saying that, because I think sometimes we think things have to be so huge to be impactful. But to your point, it's like throwing a pebble in a lake, and it's like, it's a big ripple effect. Right.
And it's like the little things. I could probably do 6 little acts of kindness in a day. It may take me a week to do something massive.
Totally.
Good point. You know, good point.
And it's just like, and I think that's important to talk about too, because sometimes people are like, what can I do? I felt that way before. I was like, what can I do in the world? Like, how am I going to make any sort of a difference? And I think a lot of people ask themselves that question. I don't have, you know, $1 million. I can't donate all this to a charity or do something like this. I can't fly across the world and help children. And it doesn't have to be anything that crazy. It literally can be those tiny things, because in those tiny things, every single person can do that.
That's right.
And that's it. That's right.
And that's why I specified, you know, before we, you know, get ready to bring this to a close, that's why I specified coming up as a boy, as a young man, watching, you know, those acts of kindness. Because again, tangibly, we didn't have, you know, much to give. And so that was embedded in me even as I grew and became the man that I am, which I attribute to my mother and just to my surrounding family members. So to your point, you're exactly right. To Elizabeth's point, you're exactly right. I love what you said, you know, to try to plan something, you know, grandiose would take forever. Oh man, but you can do, like you said, just 6 simple things without even thinking, within an hour, within a day, easily. And that speaks volumes. It speaks volumes.
Yeah. Can I just say, like, that's awesome too. Part of your story too. I'm sure growing up and you saying you didn't have a lot to like physically give, I'm sure in moments that was tough growing up, not having a lot or not having things to give. I always go towards the positive. I always go towards gratitude. And it's easy for me to say this. I didn't have your experience. I'm not saying it was a bad one, but from the outside perspective, looking in, how beautiful was it that you didn't have much to physically give? Because look what God instilled in you. Ooh. And look at the person you are today.
Yes, sir.
Because if you had all these physical things give,
right,
you would have probably placed a lot of emphasis on physical, on materialistic. But because you didn't, you led with your heart.
Amen. That was yes. I could not have put it better. And again, I really just thank God for my mother, you know, who was just the catalyst of it all, you know. And she wasn't one to just talk about, you need to. Mm-mm. It was 90% action, you know. And as a kid, and she wasn't doing it. I love what you said earlier too, kind of backtracking. She didn't do those things to be thanked. That also carried with me. Whether it's going back to, since we're using this analogy, opening the door. Even if someone, like I said, I've had some bad experiences, that didn't mean that I stopped doing it, because I wasn't doing it for a response or reaction in the first place. So thank you for having that insight to my upbringing that has, yes, thank God, has made me the man that I am, and still more of a man I need to be. So appreciate that.
Oh, man. Go ahead.
Yeah. You guys are awesome. You guys have such good energy. Coming on podcasts and talking to people, you know, we get to meet each other very, very briefly, but we do get a very deep look into each other's lives pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And I always like to give love where I see it. And you guys just seem amazing. You seem like you have a really great thing going on. You just seem like really beautiful people. And I'm very grateful to be here with you right now.
And we are grateful to have you here too. Why don't you tell people like where they can find you, some of the projects you're working on and so forth?
Yeah, so if you want just a little bit more love brought into your life, you know, if you want just little perks of joy,
just a little bit
of joy throughout your day to help you feel good and just better than you're already feeling right now, definitely check out the page. On Instagram, it's Spread Love Movement. TikTok, the same thing. Facebook, the same, Spread Love Movement. Then we have a podcast that's been out for about 1.5 years, talking to some incredible guests. Like, sometimes I'm just like, who am I to be, not in a bad way.
I know what you mean. Who am I, yeah.
Right, to be talking to some right. of these people. It's just like unreal. So the podcast has been rewarding. And the reason why I wanted to start the podcast was because the page is awesome and it's a great platform in its own right. But I wanted to have another platform where I'm talking to people who are doing these acts of kindness, who are changing the world in a much more positive way. So that's what we do in the podcast every single week. The one question I ask every single guest, and I not challenge, but I maybe ask people to think about this. It seems like a big question, but in reality, it's not that big. So the question is, what I ask every guest is, how do you feel like every single day you are contributing into a shift in consciousness of this planet that is more loving and kind and peaceful and empathetic, vulnerable, forgiving, understanding, and a consciousness that feels like more one? So how do you feel like you are contributing every single day to this sort of a shift in consciousness? And when you actually sit and have that thought, mm-hmm. it will really change
it
things for you.
It does change things. You start really thinking, like, what have I done? Well, do that. And what am I doing? You know? Yeah.
Yep. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. And I'm telling mm-hmm. you, the most beautiful responses that I get so much of the time, and these people are doing like massive things in the world. And a lot of the time they're like, I just need to show up as my best self every single day and be the most loving version of myself that mm-hmm. I can be. Hold that door open for somebody, do these little acts of kindness, and just be that version. Be love as much as I humanly can, because all we can do is do that for ourselves. We can't control the outside world. I can't control Kay and Elizabeth to be more loving or be more kind, to be fit to what I think is the version of themselves that they're supposed to be. It doesn't work that way. It's only what we can do on the inside. We want to make any sort of a change in the world. It literally does start with us. It starts with you and nowhere else. You want to create more love? Be more loving. You want to create more vulnerability? Be vulnerable. Be risky. Take these steps and these leaps forward that can be scary. It's okay. So much beauty lives on the other side of fear. So if something like that is scaring you, promise you, take that little step and just watch what is brought to you.
Oh, man.
Awesome.
That's amazing. Awesome. Wow. Awesome. So if you're not feeling inspired after that, I don't know. You're going to have to come back, I guess, and listen to the show again.
Well, you know that old saying. That old saying, I used to hear it coming up, that when you're going through, whatever that may be, if and when you're going through, help someone else who's going through and watch what happens mm-hmm. to you.
It's true.
That is so true.
My parents were really big givers, and they recently passed. Like within the last 2 years, I lost both my parents. Yeah. But they had several thousand people that showed up at their funeral, which was a testament to like the way they cared mm-hmm. for others and looked out for others. And I remember whenever I would get in my feelings, my mother would be like, the best way to get out of that feeling is to go do something for someone else. And it was like, it was true, because you can't focus on all that stuff when you're doing something that's for right. someone else. And that's sometimes right. you think you're doing something for someone else, but in turn, you're learning and it kind of comes back too. So it's just, I love what you're saying about starting with you and controlling that component first. And I'm just so glad for Kayla and your life too, because we wouldn't have Justin, we wouldn't have Spread Love Movement. And we know it's both of you now, but just keep doing this amazing work. We are so appreciative of this, and we need more of this in the world. So we're so glad to have you on the show.
Yes, this was such a nice, great, fun conversation that we just got to have with each other, and really touched on some really important things that, again, I think it always breaks down to like simplicity.
Right.
What we talked about aren't these gigantic themes and thoughts and crazy things that we're asking people to do, we're asking ourselves to do. There are these little moments. That's it. And that really, really makes the biggest difference.
And since we're going to end with simplicity, because that is just amazingly been the theme, I'm going to end it with one of my favorite great writers. And I hope I'm getting this quote correct. I think it was from the late Henry David Thoreau. And the quote went as this: simplicity is life's best sophistication. Mm-hmm. Simplicity is life's best sophistication.
Wow.
Well, I noticed this in myself. I'm a better person when I don't overcomplicate things, mm-hmm. when I just make things a little simpler.
Totally. Well, Justin, yeah. thank you so much for being on the show tonight. We so appreciated you. You just gave us a lot to think about, and I think our audience will totally enjoy this as much as we're enjoying it in this moment. We're going to take off for now until we have another episode of Bed Talks. Please remember to subscribe to us. You can find us on the Anchor app, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many other platforms. But until next time, as we always say, and Justin, you'll appreciate this, XOXO.
Thank you guys so much.